The election is thrown into turmoil. Members of Congress are calling for the FBI director's scalp. But other things are going on atop Capitol Hill, like a threatened veto of the crucial National Defense Authorization Bill. Joining me with more on that one, Roll Call Senior Editor David Hawkins. And you'd think there's nothing happening except the email ongoing debacle. But yet there's legislative debate on mundane issues also.
Right, mundane and not so mundane. Obviously, the NDAA, as it's called, the Defense Authorization Bill, it is probably the biggest, most consequential bill that Congress does virtually without fail every year since John Kennedy was the president. It always has gotten done, but many years with some drama, and this looks to be one of those years.
And so what is the big issue that is holding it up? What is the administration not like enough that it would veto an absolute crucial bill?
There are a few issues, but the one that is standing out and the one that we had a little scoop on at the end of last week at CQ Roll Call involves language that was inserted by socially conservative Republicans into the bill that looks like it that negotiators are now trying to decide whether to keep in the final version. That the critics of this language say it would essentially sanction discrimination against it would allow defense contractors to discriminate against their workers based on religious grounds, which critics of this language say would mean sanctioning discrimination against people who are gay or having children outside of marriage, to name sort of the two most obvious. This has been an on-running battle all year. Between the social conservatives and the social liberals about how to expand the rights of gay people in the workplace, and in this particular instance, at the moment, the advantage goes to the social conservatives because they have a chance to get this language in the bill. But then the advantage would go to the president because he told people involved in these negotiations last week. His people told those people he would veto the bill.
Because, you know, that's what they say, what the opponents say about that language. But the language about what the opposition is doing in Congress these days is so inflammatory that I doubt it would really be a provision saying you may hereby discriminate against gay people as a federal contractor.
Right. It is not that explicit. And I'm sorry if I oversimplified it a second ago. It would say that these defense contractors can cite religious reasons for making decisions in employment, and gay rights community says that would be tantamount to sanctioning this discrimination.
So where does this all head at this point? I mean, how much negotiating space is there on that particular issue?
That's a great question. I think that my own view is that probably these negotiations will be frozen until after the election, and then depending, it could go one way or the other. If the Republicans lose only a few seats, I mean, I think we are operating here at CQ Roll Call from the assumption that the Republicans will be losing seats in both the House and the Senate. The only question is how deep those losses will cut. If it's a modest loss, then the Republicans might stick to their guns. If it's a deep loss, they either might give up or they may conclude that this is their one chance to make this policy change before the election and that they might dare the president in the closing days of his presidency to veto this bill anyway. And if he does veto it, it's a safe bet to say that if the president were to veto this, there are not the votes in Congress to that he would get away with the veto. In other words, there would not be a two-thirds majority to override his veto.
And so we could have a defense shutdown, even if there's not a government shutdown.
We could, although I think that probably, knowing that Congress is coming back the Monday after the election, right after after Veterans Day weekend, they're in for 1 week, then out for Thanksgiving, then back from the end of November until the week or two before Christmas, that they will work this out. And even if it takes a veto along the way, sooner or later the bill will get enacted.
Interesting. Last week we were talking about the possibility of another October surprise, no one dreaming what would happen late last week with respect to the FBI. So the whole election is kind of looking a little odd at this point, I guess you might say.
It certainly does seem right. It's an incredibly unpredictable election campaign, although the polling out on Monday suggests that despite all this unpredictability, the underlying fact remains, which is that Mrs. Clinton seems to be holding steady with her narrow lead over Mr. Trump, despite what happened on Friday. Whether that, but you know, there's a week to go, and it's not such a big lead that it couldn't change, and that the electorate could make up its mind for all kinds of reasons in the last few days.
We're speaking with CQ Roll Call senior editor David Hawkins, and I wanted to also ask you about your column this week, in which you have taken a close look at what looks like it's shaping up to be the class of freshmen coming in the House, a little predictive quality to that. But you've pointed out a very, very diverse group. And just looking at the pictures with both red and blue labels, it really is a diverse group.
It is a diverse group. And so what I just said about the presidential race being potentially shifting at the last minute, notwithstanding that, what is also true is that the vast majority of congressional districts around the country are drawn to virtually guarantee the election of either a Republican or a Democrat. So what I did there was there are actually 30 open seats that people are vacating. They're retiring, running for other office. A couple of them have died. In 30 of those seats, the nominee of one party or the other is virtually guaranteed of winning just because of the way the district is drawn. And those 29 or 30 members are a diverse lot. They are almost evenly split between Republicans and Democrats, with the Republicans having a slight edge. They actually suggest that there will be a slight gain in the number of African-American members of the House, because a couple of new African-American members are actually taking the place of white lawmakers, which is kind of unusual in recent years. Same is true for the growth in the Latino population of the House. A couple of new Latino members are replacing non-Latino members. Again, somewhat unusual. Generally, there have been Hispanic districts and African-American districts, and the universe has not been growing. And then the number of women is really the big mystery. There are only, so far, four new guaranteed freshmen who are female. But as we discussed with the Senate last week, if it's a big Democratic night next Tuesday, there could be a really big influx of women. As many as, I think, 19 Democratic women are mounting challenges, significant challenges to Republican incumbents. And so if they do really well, there would be a big gain in the number of Democratic women, but the number of Republican women looks like it could stay the same or even decline by one. There's only one surefire new Republican woman coming to the House. That's Vice President Dick Cheney's daughter, Liz Cheney, for Wyoming. And there's only one Republican woman who is mounting a serious challenge to an incumbent. She's in upstate New York.
And there's also another candidate on the Democratic side from California, Jimmy Panetta. Is that also a child of someone famous?
It is. A familiar name probably to many people who work in the executive branch, because Jimmy Panetta's dad, Leon, had, as many people know, all sorts of important jobs in the executive branch at the CIA, at the Defense Department, at OMB, all of which happened after he spent 16 years or so representing the central coast of California in the House, and now his son Jimmy is going to represent that same district. So Jimmy Panetta, as a successor to Leon Panetta, and Liz Cheney as a successor to Dick Cheney, who also long ago was Wyoming's only congressman back in the 70s and 80s.
All right, and a real quick question. A couple of weeks ago now, the roll call reported that the Metro, D.C. Metro system, was going to skip Congress and try to go directly to the states for funding. I just wanted to ask you if there's any update to that strategy, given that this is the week when some really bad interruptions in service and slowdowns are occurring.
Yep, I think that the red line is probably the line that the most number of people who work on the Hill use. It's actually, I think it's the case that Union Station, which serves the Senate side of the Capitol, remains the busiest single Metro station. So probably if the SafeTrack work on the red line this week is a real mess, that will actually be heard in the halls of Congress when they return for the lame duck. I still think that there is an outside shot that Metro could do okay in the next continuing resolution, but I think there's probably a better shot that Metro is not going to do any better, and that they'll have to be looking to supplement what they get from Congress elsewhere.
Yeah, there's a red line that really will cause action this time around. David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.